I'm Kenny O'Kennedy. I'm actually not the pastor. Rainer is the pastor. I'm an engineer. I work for Oricon, and some of my colleagues are also here. They sit there in the corner. Please be nice to them. Okay. We're part of the... We're still doing this Unfaking Your Life sermon series. Who of you have really been more unfaker the past 2 weeks? Okay, there's still a lot of unfaking do, looks like it. Okay, so the first sermon was Real Jesus. Rainer spoke about who Jesus really was. Second one, Real History. It was an apologetics masterclass by Mr. Johan Snyman. And today I'm going to talk about real heroes. Just turn to someone next to you and ask them who their real hero is. Okay, is there anyone who wants to... Who said A.B. de Villiers? Who wants to share a hero? Andre, what is your... Who is your... Okay, not... You can't say Kenny. Okay, that's a very good hero to have. Anyone else? Okay. Okay, great. I thought you were going to say Ravi Zacharias. So here's the thing. I believe that through the Holy Spirit, you can be better than your hero. So whoever you said now who is your hero, you can, through the Holy Spirit, I believe you can be the hero. And after this teaching, you'll know exactly what to do, how to become that hero. Okay. The people usually say, they say, a clever man you know by the good answers he gives. But a wise man you know by the questions he asks. So when we talk about real heroes, we must actually think about what's the question about it. And the question for me behind real heroes is, what does greatness actually mean? What does it mean to be great? And that's a question we want to answer tonight. And actually, I'm just going to answer it in the next slide. And it's very simple. So what I want to propose to you today is that the answer is to be a dishwasher. Okay, so the band can come up. And we're going to do altar call. No, I'm joking. I'll explain what it means. I know it's not a bestseller. I could have, if I were to title my book, Be a Good Dishwasher, I don't think anyone would buy it. Maybe I must rather title it something like, Release the Inner Greatness Within You. Claim Your Greatness. 3 Steps to Greatness and Better Abs. Do you think that will sell? Okay. No, it is actually true to be a dishwasher. That's the secret to greatness. It is not the other things. It's really to be a dishwasher. So, tonight, okay, just keep that in mind. Just park it there. We're going to come to that tonight. Tonight, we're not going to do small things. We're going big here. In our church, we often share... And we share it from this pulpit. We say we want to reach nations. Who has heard that? Okay, actually our mission statement says we want to reach nations and generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. See, it's not a small thing. It's a big thing. Who of you, when you say that, when you see that, feels a bit uncomfortable? Do you feel uncomfortable? I feel very comfortable by the church planting part. But it's true. It is a big vision. And I don't know, a few weeks back, Pastor Tiens Jacobs from our Gardens congregation, he shared a very powerful word. He said he believed that this congregation must be a circle of intensity. Basically what he meant by that is we're going to receive people and then we're going to disciple them for a short time, and then we're going to send them to the nations. And actually, if you think about it, that's actually what we're doing at the moment. You can see you can already see there's the potential here. So just look to the people next to you. There's lots of nations here. There's lots of people that's going to go somewhere. There's people that's working here just doing their articles, but one day they'll go and work at another place. So we've already got that potential. And we can do that. So we as a church, we've got a mandate to disciple real heroes. That's our mandate. That's a goal that we must set to ourselves. We, out of the people that comes out of this church, must be real heroes. And if you think about it, if we can go to the next slide. If you look at Africa, every second country in Africa has a dictator. We need real heroes. We've got a leadership problem. And I believe the answer is being a dishwasher. So, I'm big on the past few weeks. I'm very big on declarations, because when you say something, it's powerful. So we're going to declare this. If you agree with it, obviously, say with me: we're shaping Africa's destiny tonight. Because by the Holy Spirit, we can. Okay, let's do it again. We're shaping Africa's destiny tonight. Because by the Holy Spirit, we can. Amen. Okay, now shake someone next to you and tell him this. Africa is waiting for you to stand up and to be a real hero. Okay. It reminds me of Romans 18 verse 19, which says, "For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed." And you can replace that creation by Africa. For Africa waits in eager expectation for shofars, rondebos, real heroes to be revealed. Okay, amen. But to make these disciples, to be a circle of intention, I believe we must do the following. We must first unfake the perception of what we have, of greatness that we have. Okay, are you ready for a bit of unfaking, fakeness? Okay, 2,000 years ago, the Jews also had ideas about what a real hero is, because they just called it the Messiah. So they were waiting for that hero that they thought that's going to deliver them from the Roman Empire. At that time, they were oppressed by the Romans, and they thought the Messiah that God's going to send is going to deliver them from this Roman oppression. And they thought that he's going to be a mighty ruler that's going to have lots of military power, going to overthrow the Romans. But God didn't have a fake plan like that. God had a different plan. He sent the most unfaking person in the world, Jesus, to the earth. The Jews were totally bowled over, to use that cricket metaphor in this season. Completely different. It was completely different to what they expected. So here it is. He came in a manger, not in some fancy medical clinic or not even in a state hospital. He was an illegitimate child of a teenage couple. He doesn't come and establish a kingdom of great military power. His army is misfit fishermen and tax collectors. And they go around in the country, not even very far, and they just go and talk to people and pray for people. Okay, there were some miracles, but that didn't even fit their perception. Because how can he heal someone on a Sunday? It doesn't work like that. Messiah is not supposed to do that. And then he dies. Well, that's what they think. And the Romans are still there, and Caesar was still the main guy. See, Jesus came in a form that was completely different from what the Jews expect. Their selfish desires of wanting their nation to rule, made that they missed Jesus. And here's the lesson for us. Is our selfish desires not also making us miss Jesus? Okay, before you're thinking, Before you think you're going to miss Jesus, don't worry. I'm going to show you not to miss Jesus. Okay. So let's see what does Jesus see as great. And let's unfake the fakeness. John 13. Very famous scripture. Okay. Are you ready for some scripture reading? There should be some scripture reading in a sermon. Do you agree? It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Then there's a conversation between Peter and Jesus, which I'm not going to read. Then we continue the story at verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." See, this is a very famous portion of Scripture. Who has never heard this portion of Scripture? Okay, see, everyone knows it. And some of you, I'm sure, have also participated in a ritual where someone has washed your feet. But I think because it's so well known and everyone knows it, we've sort of spiritualized feet washing. Because now we don't see it in the way that the Jews saw it in those days. Because today we have tar roads and we have closed shoes. In those days you have sandals and dirt roads. So when you went to your friend, you came there, your feet was dirty, and there was someone to wash your feet. But it was seen as a very lowly job. It wasn't even, some people say it wasn't even, Jewish slaves weren't even allowed to do it. It was Gentile slaves that were allowed it. So you see, it wasn't something spiritual, it was something practical. So to put it in context, I think we should rather, if we would tell the story today, we would tell it like this. We'll go like this. It's 1998. You're sitting on your porch drinking a cup of tea. A black BMW arrives at your house. You realize it must be important because the car has blue lights and the guy stepping out of the car has a bulletproof vest on. He gives you an envelope and you open it very carefully. You can't believe it. It's a dinner invitation signed by Nelson Mandela. In the letter he says he invites you for dinner at his house because he sees you as an up-and-coming young leader in Africa. See, I told you, the real heroes is in this church. Fast forward the story and you arrive at the dinner. It's the best five-course meal you've ever had, if you had a five-course meal before. Only the best wine is served. The evening is great, and you chat a little bit about politics, about obviously 1995 World Cup, why white people all look the same. You're just enjoying spending time with your hero. Then after they serve the dessert, Nelson Mandela does something you didn't expect. He stands up and he washes. He stands up and goes to the kitchen and washes the dishes. Remember, it was a five-course meal. And there was about 20 other young up-and-coming leaders in Africa also attended the dinner. Just think about that. Just imagine that if that happens to you. How will that impact you? What impression will that leave you? Now, that's exactly the impression that Jesus left on the disciples when he washed their feet. He was not doing something spiritual. He was doing a job that nobody wanted to do. Not even a Jewish slave wanted to do. And Jesus went and he did it. And he was the rabbi. He is not supposed to do things like that. And that's why I'm saying the secret to greatness is dishwashing. Jesus just unfaked greatness for us. It basically just means serve each other. And that's what Jesus, that's the answer to our question. What does greatness really mean? It means to serve each other. If we want to solve Africa's problem, like we said, especially our leadership problem, we must raise up leaders that will humbly serve each other. We must raise up leaders that want to do the dishes and does the dishes. Okay, so let's talk about dishwashing basics. We're going to look at the scripture and we're going to take a few basics out of it. First thing is, serving or dishwashing, it's a practical manifestation of love. See, in verse 1 it says, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So, that's verse 1. He loved them to the end. Then he goes and shows them what this loving to the end means. He goes and washes their feet. So, it's a practical manifestation of love. The second thing, very important, humility. Humility is probably, I think if you go and read biographies of all the people that really made a big impact in the world, you'll always find there's one key ingredient in their lives, and that's humility. Jesus says in verse 14, now that I, your Lord and teacher, that you consider as your hero, that you consider to be great, okay, I added that bit, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Okay, so he's saying, I'm your rabbi, but I went below you. It's not in my job description to wash feet, but I went below you to serve you. It's humility. I was so blessed the other day. I went to listen to Frans van Niekerk. He's a very big businessman, man. And I was just so impressed by his humility. For instance, just to tell you, Omar, he's considered one of the biggest philanthropists, is that correct, in Africa. He is given about 2 billion rand away already to the kingdom. And he says, no, it's not me. I didn't do anything. I'm just a trowel, something that you use to mistle. What do you call it? Where's Oricon? Plaster, yeah, plaster walls. So he says, no, it's just a troll that people use, that God used to plaster walls. That's what it is. But he's given 2 billion rand away to the kingdom. That's humility. And then in Philippians 2:7-9, Paul writes and says, Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, dishwasher, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So here's something to try at home. Humble yourself, become a dishwasher, and watch how God exalts you. It's a principle I've seen so many times in my life. If you humble yourself and you do the dishwashing, God will exalt you as a leader. Try it at home. Third thing, it's a sign of disciple. This Last Supper was about 12 hours just before Jesus' crucifixion. So just think about it. It's the last time that you're going to spend with your best friends. You know it's the last time. Surely you're going to make sure that the thing that you do at this dinner, you're going to make sure that it's significant. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He does this feet washing thing. Some people might say it's stupid to do it. But that's what he chose to be the most significant thing, basically, to take everything that he has, everything that he has taught his disciples, he goes and he puts in and says, no, it's just dishwashing. in verse 34, we didn't read it, says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I loved you. Okay, that's at the end of the dinner. What he's saying is, just as I loved you. How did God love his disciples? He just showed them. He loved them by washing their feet. And that's so important. It's, like we said, love. It's a practical manifestation of love. And then it says in verse 35, by this all people know that you are my disciples. So it's love. We always grow to know by the love we have for each other. People know that we're God's disciples. But we must actually go a bit further and we say, by doing all the dishwashing, the guy that does all the dishwashing, we know that that guy is a disciple of God. It is basically what he's saying is, it's a characteristic that the world will know that you are my followers. He's saying that characteristic is servanthood. If you see people serve, then you know they are from my disciples. Okay. Okay, so you can tell me it's a nice sermon. I really enjoyed it. It was funny or it wasn't funny. Didn't understand it. But what I'm really interested is, what are you going to do tomorrow when you go to your work, when you go to your studies? That's what we're really interested. So what I've done is I've listed a few hacks. Hacks is basically just a shortcut or a tip or some of its principles or just in the real words, actually heuristic, a rule of thumb that you can apply. And it helps you just to get practical with it. Okay. The first one is very practical. Pray more for other people than yourself. Jamie Lee and Marichen there was a great opportunity to do that, to pray for people that get saved, pray for the Awakened Conference. Lots of people, I often hear people say, no, I don't hear the voice of God. But it's because you're just asking God about yourself the whole time. That when you really hear God is when you ask God about someone else. Say, I see Andre. Yeah, my brother. I ask him, what does he think about Andre? You must hear God. You're going to try and stop God talking about it. So pray for people. Just try it for a week. Just try and pray for other people. And you'll see your problems will also go away. Very important. Second thing, also very important. Connect with a greater vision. So it's important that when Jesus did the feet washing, he wasn't just doing feet washing. He knew how this fits into the greater vision. In the greater vision of making disciples, bringing the kingdom, taking the kingdom to the whole world. He knew how that fit into that. Because that's basically what the disciples did. After that, they went and served people. And that's how they took over the Roman Empire. A very cool story I heard is, there was a guy just in time at NASA was doing the moon landings. There was a guy who came to NASA and he saw a tea lady doing something and he asked the tea lady, so what are you doing? She said, no, I'm putting people on the moon. See, she's connecting what she's doing now, making tea with a greater vision. So let's apply it to this church. Craig was sitting there, he was doing the sound. What is Craig doing? He's not doing sound. What is he doing? He's making disciples, he's doing leadership development, he's doing church planting. If you greet someone here in the foyer, what are you doing? You're making disciples, leadership development, church planting. If you don't have a vision, you'll never be able to serve. Because if you don't have a purpose, you're not motivated to do something. So connect what you're doing now with a greater vision. Very important. Second thing, and the first one was connect vision, disconnect your identity. If you do something, it doesn't mean that's your identity. That is one of the most basics of basics. But often I also find myself that I don't want to do something because I'm worried what people are going to think about me. Jesus didn't worry. He was a rabbi. He didn't worry. He just washes the feet. He just did something a slave in those days. the principle, people say, serve like a king, rule like a servant. It's out of overflow that you do it. It's because you're so secure in your identity of Jesus that you can do this, that you can do the lowly things. One of the best examples I've seen in my life is we've got a tea lady at our work. The Oricon people enjoy it. Her name is Rosie. Now, she's a super radical Christian. But she just, what she does is she makes tea, she makes coffee, she cleans the kitchen, and she basically just serves whatever people want. But she does it with excellence. She always does it with a smile and obviously with a sense of humor. The only time when she doesn't have a positive attitude is when you walk in there and you don't greet her. They'll say, "Get in! I'm going to lay hands on you." But because her identity is not in what she does, she has made that her ministry. She, on our floor, we have about 200 people. The main, like the general manager of South Africa, is also sitting there. She's got a church of 200 people. I think almost more people than here. And she sees them every day. Just because her identity is not what she does, but her identity is in Christ. I actually invited Rosie here, but I don't know why she's not here. Okay. Very important. This is just a warning. Don't be a Martha, be a Mary. Many times, you get people that serve, and they're really good. They really do the dishwashing. They know what to do, this dishwashing thing, feet washing. They know how to do the lowly jobs. But they miss something. And that's exactly what Martha missed. Jesus says in Luke 10, it says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Okay, just to recap. This is Jesus at, I think, Martha or Mary's house. And there's lots of people. Martha is very stressed. She wants to cater for all the people. And Mary is just sitting and listening to Jesus. She's focusing on the relationship. And Martha is doing dishes. What we think we should do. But Jesus, basically what Jesus is saying, no, you remember serving is relationship, folks. Remember what I said, love, serving is just a practical manifestation of love. So you must always do it out of love, and it's out of a place of relationship. So what Jesus basically is saying is, Martha, just leave the dishes, let it pile up. The most important thing is that I'm here now. Let's spend time with me, build a relationship. That's the important thing. And how you can test yourself is, if you just do things and you know it's empty, you get tired quickly and you moan about things. Just that's how you can test if you have this thing wrong. If your serving is not relationship focused. Okay, last thing is family. Start in the family. Every family has chores. In our family, luckily we had a dishwasher at the house in Rawsonville. We've four kids, so there's lots of dishes. But when we went to our holiday house in Bedis Bay, there wasn't a dishwasher. So we had to make turns. Dishwashing, we had to clean, we had turns to clean. I don't think Andre was ever on that roster. I think he was just too small. But every family has chores. And if you're not serving in a family, we have a name for that person. It's a guest. So if you're not serving, you're a guest. So I'm not saying all the people that's guests here, you don't have to serve in this family. But if you say this is your family, then you're missing something if you're not serving. Because serving is a great way of bringing a sense of belonging. If you serve, then you create that sense of belonging. Just another thing on serving is there's chores and then there's calling-related tasks. Many times you'll hear people say, "No, I'm not passionate about this thing, or I'm not called for this thing." But nobody is really called for dishwashing. That's just a chore that everyone has to do. So there is certain needs in a church, certain needs in a family that everybody must do. But there also is certain things like ministries or, say, art ministry or praise and worship, whatever, that God has given people callings and a gift in them. And they must practice that gift, serve in the church with that gift. So there's just to, you must just differentiate between it. Is it a chore or is it something that's related to calling? Like for instance, now when we prayed for the people at Statistic in the church, that is obviously something that's a calling. I want to encourage you, when you're just more honest on this calling thing, is you're not going to know what you're good at or how you can serve in the church if you don't try. Just experiment. It's okay to say, okay, this year I'll do Bible school, or I help with Encounter One or one of the encounters, or I'll do sound desk. Just experiment with it. See, okay, I like it, I don't like it, it's not really, I'm not so passionate about it, I thought I'm going to be more passionate about it. That's fine, but you must experiment, you must do things, otherwise you'll never find out. And there's lots of opportunities in this church. So basically what I'm saying is, there's lots of opportunities in this church for changing the world, because we're changing the world in this church. So, serve. Okay, then, that's basically my ex. Just to go back to the story, in the aftermath of the dinner, we all know that Jesus died and he got resurrected, and then a few days after that, the Holy Spirit got poured onto disciples. And the Holy Spirit empowered them to do this dishwashing. And what they did is they changed the Roman Empire and the world for that matter forever. And the last quote I've got on the screen there is, if you don't believe me that they did it, and they did it by serving, it's Emperor Julian, and he makes this following very interesting observation. He says, atheism, okay, remember he's a Roman, so he thought everyone that doesn't believe in their gods is an atheist, has been specially advanced through the loving service rendered to strangers. Dishwashing, in other words. And through the care for the burial of the dead, it is a scandal that there is not a single Jew who is a beggar, and that the godless Galileans care not only for their own poor, but for ours as well, while those who belong to us look in vain for help that we should render them. So basically what he's saying is, these guys are taking over our Roman Empire by washing the dishes. And today we're standing in the same situation here in South Africa. We don't have the Roman Empire, but we have Africa. And Africa is waiting for us to change its destiny by being a dishwasher. Okay, can everybody stand? Okay, the band can come down as well. Okay, so you can close your eyes. If God really spoke to you now, and you want to make a commitment to be a servant. You want to make a commitment to be great. You know you've been. I know a lot of you have been. You've had great prophecies over you. You're going to be do this, these great things, and this. But what God wants you to do is make a commitment to being a servant, making a commitment to be a dishwasher, making a commitment to be like Jesus was when he was on earth. So if you're that person, then please raise your hand. Okay. Okay, you can actually come forward. So I should have just called you forward. Then there's another group of people here that you haven't met the real servant. You haven't met Jesus. You feel the things that we spoke when Rainer came forward and he shared those words, when we sang the Holy Spirit. You feel like nobody. You don't feel like you don't feel connected to Jesus. Maybe it's just because you must still go into that relationship with Jesus. So if that's you, then I also want you just to raise your hand. Is there anyone like that? If there's anyone here that knows their relationship with the real servant is not where it should be, And I want you just to raise your hand. I would really like to pray for you. You are the most important. That's the most important prayer that we want to do. The facilitators goes to the people they're going to pray for. I just want to do a prayer for all the people that came forward, just to bless you. The Father, thank you that we can just come, and I just pray for you. I just pray to come over these people right now. I pray that you'll come and fill them to overflowing, Father. Overflowing so they can change the world, Father. Father, thank you that they will not be servants like Martha, Father. They will be servants like Mary, Father. Thank you that I can just pray that they will be, they will serve people around them, Father. They will change the workplace. They will change their dresses. They will change their classrooms, Father, by serving, but serving out of overflowing. Father, I just pray for a greater measure of your Spirit on them to do that, Father, in the name of Jesus.